All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom. I'm part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Good morning. Today is March 10th. I was just thinking yesterday I did not read the daily reflections. Forgive me. I was going to go ahead and go back and read it, and apparently you can't. I mean, you probably could, but if I just bring up daily reflections, there's no... I don't see the option to go back, and that's probably some sort of reason for that. Like, there's nothing, you know, it's over. It's over. Yesterday's yesterday. Today is today. And that's a great, you know, that's great. It's a great topic, really. You know, the power of the moment, the power for me... The power that I learned or the power that I gained realizing how safe I was in the moment. You know, like right now, right here, I'm perfectly safe. I got no troubles. But if I, you know, if I venture out, it's like Minecraft. Minecraft, I don't know if anybody plays that game, but man, you know, you start a game and you have to chop down some wood and make a crafting table and make some essentials. You start to build a little base and you get a little fire and you're getting, you know, you're mining and getting the important things that you need to survive in the game. And then you start to wonder, you start wondering what's out over there, right? Or wonder what's down there, because there are things you need. You need to adventure. But their problem is that if you die, you get put back where you started. And, you know, a lot of us don't map out the trip that got us to where we are today. So it can be a real game changer to lose your spot and then like try to figure out how to get back to it. It is. And so what we end up doing is just staying in that little area. And, you know, but let's say I do want to adventure out. One of the things I do is I go about 25 blocks out and I build a high, you know, tower with some torches on it so that you can see it. So I can go about 25 blocks out. I can see my torch. I'm like, okay, I know I'm still where I know I need to be. You know, go another 25 blocks, build another torch tower. You know, and this, you know, just this path, just seeing where it's out there, but at the same time, not letting go of the past. Holding on to it like the past is. Oh my God, I can't let go of the past. You know, it is what I've done so much work in the past, right? When I start going out another 25 blocks, a couple hundred blocks, 200-300 blocks out, I've got this torch path all the way back to where I was, leading where I want to end up being. And then you get to some place and you're like, oh my God, this is great. And then you slowly start letting go of that past or that camp or that base. You know, you might make a couple trips back and grab some stuff, but you're moving on, right? Moving on. You're moving on. And you'll go back to your old base and just grab the essentials. You know, the real, you know, all the loot that you gathered being at that base. But leave the shit that you needed to kind of get the base started, the wooden stuff, you know, the wooden axes and picks and stuff. You don't need it. You just leave it. Leave it behind. Take all my new stuff to my new camp. Move on over. Next thing you know, you're at a new place, but you can always still see that trail of torches that takes you back to the past. And sometimes we go back there. I wonder if I left something there. You know, sometimes you just got to tear down the path, man. Tear down the torches. There's nothing back there. There is nothing back there to reflect on. You know, maybe the path that got you to the new place. You know, maybe there's some lessons to be learned in there, but that initial camp, you know, we never forget. Every time I start a game, I know exactly what to do, right? Or start chopping down wood. Chop, 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 chop. Got to punch it first because you have no tools. Got to punch the wood. Punch, punch, punch. finally get some logs and you make a crafting table and you start building your stuff. You start starting over. But you become more efficient. You know, the first time I played that game, it was a mess. It was just stuck in a hole. Zombies were outside. I couldn't get out. I was dying. It was terrible. The next time, I was like, don't do that. Let's do that differently this time. I want to see if I can live longer. And you just, you know, you get better at stuff. It's kind of like getting better at life. You know? We get better. We should. I mean, we're only learning. I think the problem is if how bad we fuck it up in the meantime or in the process of it. Right? It's like, you know, my dad always said, you're going to have problems. You're going to make mistakes. It's just, I want to minimize them. You know, felonies. Don't get a felony. He used to say that to me. Don't get in felonies. Those will change your life. You won't be able to get a job. You know, and luckily, you know, felony free. Way to be. You know, I was, but you can get a reputation, you know. People start to steer clear or be aware. That's never good. You know, unfortunately, when I moved to this town, I had a real opportunity to be quite an asshole. And to come from the West Coast, I mean, literally the westest of the West, all the way to the east of the east, and just drop in and just start being this disgusting kind of transplant kind of kid that I was. You know, I got lucky. There's like this, I don't know what it's called, but there's like little mini documentaries on YouTube right now. And it's, I don't know, Mark Araya. I don't know his last name, but I think his name's Mark something. And he's doing these like interviews on YouTube with the alcoholic, with the hacker, the con man. It's like these shady people. And he's doing these interviews. That one guy's a drug addict. One guy is a heroin addict. I didn't watch that one because I just didn't feel like watching that one. But basically, it looked like a guy that was just on heroin, but somehow managing to sort of get through life. But these weird kind of folks, and you know, the guy last night was the alcoholic. And, you know, he talked about, you know, drinking beer when he was like 11 and stuff. You know, but I think just because that happens, I think just because we're prepared to be alcoholics, because he thought that since he called it the fuzzy, you know, the foam, you know, his dad or mom used to pour beer and then there'd be the foam and they'd let him drink the foam off the top of the beer glass at 11. And he was like, that's why I became an alcoholic, that early interaction with beer. Maybe that's true. Maybe. But my drinking was never around the love of the drink. It was always about getting drunk. It was always about the relationships that I was hoping to build through the alcohol. It was always about the fun that I thought that drinking the alcohol and then hanging out would soon to follow. You know, it's these, you know, in the end, it was always about, remember what we did back then? You know what I'm going to do one day? You know, I could never talk about the present. I could never talk about in the moment. It was always about, you know, I can remember sitting on a bar stool and right away reminiscing. That's what alcoholics like to do. They like to fucking talk about everything they've done and everything they're going to do. But they don't want to talk about what they're doing at the moment, which is drinking. And, you know, it's a... Is it blamed? Can you blame drinking the fuzzy off of it? I mean, I remember sipping my mom's wine. I remember everything my mom drank, I asked to have a sip of. But I didn't love it. I did not love the flavor or the taste of alcohol. I didn't. I wanted it to improve my presence. I wanted it to improve my appearance to others, make me funnier. And this guy last night, man, he just, you know, I guess the producer is or pays these people. So he's like, you got my money, right? He's like, I got the money. Don't worry. You know, like I'm doing your interview. You're still going to pay me, right? You could tell he didn't care about anything other than getting that money so he could get that drink. Brutal. You know, and I wonder why I didn't go down this path, right? Why? Well, how did I get so lucky to, and it is lucky. How did I get so lucky that I didn't end up, you know, living on Skid Row? Why? How come I somehow still cared? Somehow I for at least for today, still want better, you know? And I think part of that was learning about like this program and serenity. You know, and a lot of people think that, you know, getting sober is just putting down the drink. And it's definitely the biggest part, right? You got to put down the drink to begin to get on the path to sobriety and a life of serenity, but it is not automatic. It's not automatic. And you wonder, did he just rather drink? Because once you, you know, after you have a night of a bender and you're, you know, you're coming down or you're off, the, you know, it's the next day, there is this moment where you're kind of like, God, I shouldn't drink anymore. I really should quit. There's this lucid moment, right? And honest, I think you could probably, that was the moment I quit, the lucid moment. I wasn't sober though. I was beat up, but I had a moment of clarity and I grabbed hold of it. And somehow I just wanted to be sober. I did not want to be a drunk. I liked drinking when I was drinking. The alcoholic side of me liked it, but as far as like my overall big plan, not to be drunk. To be free. None of that would be exposed at that time. It would take a while. But just showing up, right? But I think you have to want it. And, you know, I was watching something. They were talking about the homeless in California and a lot. We have the same problem here. You know, there's a lot of... We don't have the same problem here that California has, but we have some, you know, we have people down on their luck, different points of the year. You know, you'll see certain faces here and there and in and out. You know, it's the same thing. It's just a smaller version of it here. But, you know, we have opportunities or resources for people that are homeless or that have lost everything that need them. The problem with those things, those places, is that you're not allowed to drink or you do drugs. Which, I mean, makes sense to me. So people are choosing to live on the streets because they just want to get their drink and drug on. So they're like, well, I'm not going in one of these places. So, and I think that's what's going on in California, is they're just building these homeless tent cities, because people, it's not that cold. People would rather just stay outside and get high or drink. Probably drinking. I mean, it's probably both. I'm sure they're, I know when at my point, when I was kind of living like that, whatever. What do you got? I mean, it's crazy. So I guess the point of this ramble is that, you know, if you're struggling with alcohol, you have to take a hard look and see if you really want to be sober. You know, I can't, part of me thinks like, hey, if you're not sure, then to go drink. I'm sure that's not great advice. You know, I don't want to see a person suffer any more than they have to. But, you know, that's where the change happens, is in the suffering. It's where the miracle takes place. The miracle takes place in the moment right after you quit, right? If I could just make it a little farther, I can't do it. You quit. That's where the miracle was going to take place. You push a little farther forward every time. A little farther forward. I don't know what got me caught up in that. You know, it's a process. It's a personal journey. Hopefully you're enjoying your personal journey. Sorry, the phone keeps ringing. I'm answering and chatting and it's getting all screwed up. But, you know, I wanted to read, let's read the Daily Reflections. I had it out. Like I said, sorry I didn't read it yesterday. Screwed up. In my head a bit. But I left my head. I'm back out. Here we go. March 10th, today, it's my choice. We invariably find that if some time in the past we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 62. Wow. Okay. With realization and acceptance that I had played a part in my way my life had turned out came a dramatic change in my outlook. It was at this point that the AA program began to work for me. In the past, I'd always blamed others, either God or other people, for my circumstances. I never felt that I had a choice in altering my life. My decisions had been based on fear, pride, and ego. As a result, those decisions led me down a path of self-destruction. Today, I try to allow my God to guide me on the road to sanity. I am responsible for my actions or inactions, whatever the consequences may be. Yeah, that's that, you know. Fucking headphones. Jesus Christ. That's it. You know, Matt used to tell me, you can't get better as long If you're still a victim, you'll never get better. Meaning, look what happened to me. Poor me. Look at me. How can you ever, ever, ever get better if all you do is think that everything's been done to you unjustly? Until you become accountable, until you start to take your responsibility, until you start to surrender, it's a waste of fucking time. It's a waste of fucking time. And I tell you what, when you do surrender and you start to finally realize that kind of behavior and the effects it has on your life, when you start to surrender, when you start to stop being a victim, when you start being accountable, all you do is see and notice all the people that haven't changed. Right? I mean, it just takes about 3 words for them to come out of someone's mouth and you realize, oh, victim. Victim. Why me? I love that. Why me, God? You know, I've talked about it in the past. God and Santa were, they were neck and neck. And at least Santa gave me stuff. You know, God never gave me anything. You know, when I'm living that lifestyle, yeah. I'm praying for money and chicks. None of them showed up. Had to do it the old-fashioned way, selling drugs and, you know, running the streets. But it wasn't because of God. I mean, any relationship I ever had, if I wasn't getting something out of the relationship, I wasn't having much of the relationship. You know, I remember I was dating a girl in San Diego. And we were both on drugs. Everybody was on drugs. We're all drinking and drugging. And I remember when, you know, I had to leave for a bit. And I was shocked that I had come back and the girlfriend, the true love, the love of my life, had been fucking around with another drug dealer. What? I can't believe this. And I'm friends with the guy to this day, still on Facebook. Because I had to step back and say, you know what, Tom? This is, you know, casualties of war, right? If you're going to live like that, there's going to be casualties in the war. If you're going to be a victim, you're going to hurt, you're going to have hurt feelings, right? If you're living a self-centered life, you're going to get upset. There's going to be injuries. And it wasn't until I would finally say, listen, man, this is part of the, that was part of the game. You know, they talk about in the fourth step, you know, making amends, making that list. There's some people on that, there's some people I owe an apology to that I'll never see again. I'll never find, right? I don't even maybe even remember the name. And I kind of categorize these folks as casualties of war. And we should have an agreement between the two of us. Listen, it's nothing personal. It's just our lifestyle at the moment. And that's what happened with my buddy, Pat. His name is Pat. And, you know, I had to go do my 101 days at a probation camp. And while I was gone, he kept my girlfriend, you know, happy. And I was like, oh, I was so upset. I came home and my bed, the bed that we had was broken. So he had a lot of pent up energy, I guess. And, but you know what? Good for him. That, you know, looking back at it, I think, you know what? It's just a lie. It's like living, it's like, you know, living on the road with a circus, pretty much. And, you know, there's just shit that takes place and it's just part of the circus. And, you know, for a long time, I was a victim. And, you know, getting sober, I would look back that I was doing the same thing that Pat was eventually doing too. She was just a, you know, you have people that are in that lifestyle and she just kind of moved through the people that had what she was looking for. You know, I did the same thing. I moved through the people that that had what I was looking for. If I was friends with you back in those days, it was only because of a couple things. You had either drugs Probably because you had either had drugs or you liked doing drugs. That was about all it took for me to have that relationship, that friendship. That's how shallow it was. Hey, what's up, man? You know, you got drugs? All of a sudden, you and me are best friends. No drugs? I'll call you. We'll check in. And then when things went bad, I remember when I got caught doing what I was doing. I was like, fucking people, somebody told on me. Bullshit. Oh, well. Listen, I hope everyone's having a great day. I got to go work. Trying to get back into the routine of putting out this podcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them over to the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast on Instagram. I think there's a Facebook page too. If you got anything to say or get a little shout out, hope everyone's doing well. And we'll talk to you later. Bye. I'm not talking.